I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast, the short podcast. It's just the
I still look forward to those intros.
Well, I'm sorry to let you down every time. You'll never learn, will you, Chuck?
No, I think it's great. I enjoy them.
Well, good. I'm glad one of us does. So, we are talking today about Buddhism, which is an extraordinarily complex, nuanced, layered world religion, one of the big seven, at least. And there's going to be a lot of stuff we're not going to talk about. There's going to be terms that we don't necessarily bring into it. The point is, everybody, it's not wrong, okay? We're talking about a major religion on a short stuff episode that's supposed to be 15 minutes or less. So just go into it giving us a break.
Yeah, because this is not about Buddhism as a whole. This is about, because we've talked about it here and there. I believe we did one on Nirvana.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah.
So we know a little bit about it and karma, right?
Yeah, we did that one too.
We've danced around Buddhism.
Which is a B from what I understand.
But specifically, this is about a bit of a tchotchke. This is about the little happy, jolly, chubby, usually shirtless, laughing Buddha.
Mm-hmm. He looks like Rick Ross.
That you see, it kind of does. That you see in, you know, if you go to Chinatown and go to a little tourist trap shop there, you might see these. You might see him at an Asian restaurant by the cash register. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're Chuck, you might have seen one on his desk for many years.
Oh, yeah, you do have that one.
Yeah, someone gave it to me years and years and years ago, a little bank. And I don't know, he's just got a happy little face, so I liked it.
He definitely does. And he's just smiling. You can't even see his eyeballs. He's smiling so much. And everybody knows that that's the laughing Buddha. But here's the thing. That's not Buddha.
Nope.
Not technically Buddha. In the very Buddhist way, yes, he counts as Buddha in some way, shape, or form. And we'll kind of explain that. But when you're talking about Buddha, when most people who are not Buddhists point to that and say, oh, that's Buddha, you're wrong. That's not Buddha that you're thinking. There is one Buddha who is the Buddha, the teaching Buddha for our era that we live in right now.
Capital T-H-E Buddha.
Exactly. And not just capitalized, Chuck, italicized as well. So the Buddha, he was an actual man who lived in the 8th century in India, and his name was Siddhartha Gautama. And he became he was actually born a wealthy prince, had a great wife, had a kid, was just living the life, but found that he was still unsatisfied, unfulfilled. He wanted to know what the meaning of life was. So he went on basically a vision quest and figured it out and achieved nirvana. And in doing so, he became the Buddha. And I believe his name changed to, what is his name? Oh, Shakyamuni. So we went from Siddhartha Gautama, the man, the prince, to Shakyamuni Buddha, the teaching Buddha of our age, the Buddha.
That's right. Buddha means awakened one. And like you said, during this vision quest, he meditated for 49 days under a Bodhi tree. And I imagine that was a wonderful, peaceful experience.
Dude, I'll bet his legs had such pins and needles at the end of it.
Came out the other side enlightened. And this religion has since grown, of course, to the point where, I mean, they're approaching like 400 million followers at this point, right? Somewhere in there?
Which is pretty respectable.
Yes, very much so.
For sure. It's got more than mine does.
How many?
Just me.
Just you?
I usually keep it secret.
Yumi's still like, give me a pamphlet and I'll take a look at it.
She's thinking about it. I'm working on her.
So over the years, Buddhism has really expanded to the point where there's just not Gautama Buddha. Is that the pronunciation you used?
Yeah, Gautama is everything I saw.
Yeah, Gautama Buddha, to where there are many, many, many deities, including a bunch of bodhisattvas, yeah?
Yeah, which, by the way, I was like, oh, yeah, Steely Dan, and ended up listening to every major dude because I saw that word in print.
Oh, man. Love me some Steely Dan.
It's good stuff.
So these are it's sort of a term for these individuals who work for enlightenment for everyone.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so, but what is it really? And it depends on who you ask. So if you're a practicing Buddhist who has really dedicated yourself to living the Buddhist life, to following the Buddhist path, you are technically a bodhisattva. But in certain traditions, like the one that's practiced largely in Japan and Korea and China, mm-hmm. a bodhisattva is actually somebody who's living, walking the earth,
yeah.
who is so Buddhist that they could achieve nirvana. They're actually putting off achieving nirvana so they can stay here on earth to make it a better place.
Wow.
Which makes them like Mr. Rogers would have been a bodhisattva, basically.
Yeah.
So there's bodhisattvas, mm-hmm. there's the Buddha, but then there's also some traditions that say, you realize the Buddha's been born and reborn and reborn multiple times. So the Gautama was just the most recent in a line of 28 so far. Apparently, every time the world gets destroyed, the Buddha is reborn. And right now, in this incarnation of the world, Gautama became the teaching Buddha of our age. And then those reincarnated versions of the Buddha are called avatars.
Yes.
So you've got all of them being revered as deities as well. So it's kind of understandable how you could say, well, that guy technically qualifies as the laughing Buddha, but he's actually another individual, another historical figure from what we understand.
That's right. And you know what? That's a great place for a little quick break. And we're going to come back and reveal who the laughing Buddha is once and for all right after this.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
All right. So you said that the Laughing Buddha was one of these avatars, a real human being who walked the earth in 10th century. 10th? 10th?
I like tith, like you just said.
It weirdly sounded like when I didn't have teeth up front.
It did, but they're all there, Chuck, and they're looking sharp.
10th century Chinese monk whose name was not Buddha, but Budai.
Okay, so that was his nickname. His real name was Jizu.
Yeah.
I think that was my attempt at it.
So Budai is spelled B-U-D-A-I, and he's this guy that you see. He was pot-bellied. He was happy and gregarious. He would go around from village to village with sort of like Santa Claus with a big sack over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, his very name means cloth sack in Chinese.
Yep.
And he was a very beloved figure. He helped the poor. Children loved him. He would give out sweet treats and rice and was generally like what you would imagine that character is, except it was a real human.
Right. So
that's a weird way to say that.
Right. But he because of this sack of like goodies that he would give to children and the poor, and like you said, he was very Santa Claus like, he started to become kind of associated as a Buddha that represented like abundance and plenty and contentment and fulfillment, kind of materially, but not necessarily, but in a very Buddhist way. And so the Laughing Buddha just became a very lovable, well-liked figure. Like, he was just the kind of Buddha or Buddhist avatar that anybody could get into.
That's right.
But the thing that really kind of cemented his position in the pantheon of Buddhist deities was that he basically was a self-proclaimed incarnation of Buddha.
Yeah.
He wrote a poem on his deathbed in which he said basically like, hey guys, just want to let you know the truth. I'm actually the incarnation of the next teaching Buddha. Remember, we live in a certain era right now.
Yeah.
And Shakyamuni is the teaching Buddha. Well, the next time the world destroys itself, after it's reborn, the incarnation of the Buddha that I am, Maitreya, is going to come back and then that Buddha will be the teaching Buddha for the next era. I was just coming by to say, what up, y'all? Have some stuff out of my goody sack.
Yeah, and just call me future Buddha.
Right. So they did. So that cemented Budai's position in the pantheon of deities. But the reason why you see Budai next to a cash register is because over time, he became associated with restaurants and bartenders.
Yeah, which is really, really interesting. And the only thing that sort of makes sense is, and, you know, people have researched this, but it became this imagery of this particular future Buddha became very popular in art and sculpture. And this started kind of cropping up in about the 15th century.
Right.
And then global trade starts expanding. 16th and 17th century, porcelain becomes a big thing. Mm-hmm. Ceramics becomes a big thing. And somehow in all this trade and moving, you know, kind of spreading the word west, the image of this guy, this little happy Buddha, future Buddha, that is, that everyone knows and loves, just sort of got picked up into the West. And it became sort of like a souvenir.
Yeah, like a spoon. If you're going to St. Louis, if you go to like Beijing, you get a Laughing Buddha instead.
That's right.
But that's how likable this guy was.
Yeah, and to me, the most likable thing about Buddhism, period, is, you know, if you rub on the Buddha's belly for good luck, that had nothing to do with them. And I thought, man, just a bunch of dumb white Westerners rubbing on this thing. It's probably sacrilegious, but not to Buddhists. They're like, you know what? It's all good. Rub on that belly. I don't blame you. It's highly rubbable.
Call him Laughing Buddha. We don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. Because you know why? Because we're Buddhists.
Yep.
And we're not worried about stuff like that.
Yeah. And then to button the whole thing up, the reason why you see him and why you can rub his belly at a restaurant is because he became the patron saint of restaurateurs and bartenders because of his association with contentment and fulfillment.
Amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I love it. And it's just, I really can't stress enough how, like, what a charming, welcoming thing that is for Buddhists to be like, you know what, any quality that represents Buddha nature is great. Mm-hmm. It's all good with us.
I think that's pretty cool.
Very, very cool.
Well, that's it. That's the Laughing Buddha. Now you can point that out to everybody the next time you go to a Chinese restaurant, and they will love you for it.
Yeah, rub that belly.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can go onto our website, stuffyoushouldknow.com. You can check out our social links there. And then you can also send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.